This is Linda Schaub from Intrum Healthcare, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Minolto Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans with Deb Evans Consulting.
And Jack Munson from Minolto Inc. How are you doing tonight, Deb?
I am doing well. And so this week I have a Geek It Out for you.
All right, Geek It Out time right off the bat.
You're
what
ready?
Do you have?
So it's not an app. It is something that you would use from your computer. It is a website called Startup Launch List.
Wait a second. StartupLaunchList.com. Okay.
Correct.
StartupLaunchList.
Are you actually going there, Jack?
I'm going to check it out, right.
So what it does is that it helps you find articles that you need to read before launching, I guess, a startup. Now, I tested it, and I just thought, okay, I want to see podcasting, for example. I just want to see what I can find on podcasting. And what happens is you put your, it says type your name here, but you put your title or your topic into the reading list. And it, what it does is it creates a reading list for you so that you can learn more about this topic or this startup, this launch. And it's all the articles are written by founders and designers and investors and thought leaders. So I put in podcasting, and then you have this checklist you can check off that you want to, you know, I'm coming up with the idea, I'm becoming a successful founder, building a team, designing a useful experience, creating that special product, making money, cutting through the noise, and raising finance through investors. You check all those off, you click start reading, and then the website curates all these articles for you.
Very cool. So now what kind of articles do you find? It's not,
there's like blog posts.
Yeah.
There are white papers, you know, all kinds of just different things that, you know, they've searched the web.
So not just the typical same thing that you would find if you were Googling the same keyword.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now note some of the, you know, the content that they've created is a little old. Like one of them is from 2010, but you know, it still relates to the topic, still good information, and it would be so. I'm thinking, wow, I want to write a blog post. Maybe I'll try to use this and just see what kind of, you know, content that comes up and the website curates for me. So it's something different.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds very cool. So it's startuplaunchlist.com.
All right.
I will check it out, and we'll have a link to it on the socialgeekradio.com website and the Social Geek Radio Facebook page right after this episode airs. So good Geek It Out, Deb. Nice educational stuff for our entrepreneurial friends. And speaking of educational, let's bring our guests out of the green room tonight. Tonight we're speaking with Ashley Bensendahl of Goddard Systems. How you doing, Ashley?
Hi, Jack. Good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us tonight.
You are the
interactive media manager, right, from Goddard, and you've been involved in franchising and digital marketing stuff for about as long as there's been social media, right?
Exactly. I started my career with Goddard Systems in 2008, and quickly, you know, because that was really the time that social was becoming huge and interactive and digital was really where it's at. I really joined at the exact right time for exactly what I wanted to do with my career, and especially my career with Goddard Systems.
Very cool. Yeah, I think there's some magical number around the year 2008, 2009, 2010. Wherever you were working during that time period, if you were, you know, the marketing person, or you were the sort of, you know, social geek person, you were the one that really spurred things on in whatever organization you were working at the time. Does that make sense to you guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I think it was the social catalyst, right?
Yeah, if you think back to IFA and when the discussion started on social media, that's when it really started getting, being top of mind and you found more and more presentations. So, yeah.
Right. And speaking of IFA, Ashley, you were at the IFA convention, which was just a couple of weeks ago in San Antonio, and you were hosting a roundtable about ratings and reviews. So we'd love to kind of jump into some discussion on what's happening in that part of the social and digital world right now. What kinds of ideas did you guys talk about at the ratings and reviews roundtable?
So there was a lot of really great discussion about reviews. A lot of it was centralized around SEO, search engine optimization, obviously, and really how reviews significantly influence your online visibility and where you kind of show up in those search engine results. So a lot of the conversation was focused around really that concept and how can we, as franchisors or as franchisees, really get a higher presence when it comes to online visibility and how we can get more online reviews. So there were a couple of other things that came up when we're talking about online reviews, specifically around Yelp. As we all know, Yelp is an incredible, incredible review site, also essentially a social network too. But a lot of franchisors and franchisees were having a really hard time understanding the algorithm behind Yelp's reviews in terms of them filtering reviews or not filtering reviews. So there was a really good conversation about how you almost can get around the algorithm. And I don't know, Deb or Jack, if you have, had any experience with kind of getting around this algorithm or identifying why reviews sometimes are filtered or not. But I'd be happy to dive into that conversation because I think that was certainly a real hot topic at that roundtable.
Yeah, where did that end up going?
So essentially, I specifically look at reviews that have been filtered, there's always a few key points that jump out to me of the reason why a review was filtered. Some of the conversation that we had was, well, it's filtered because I'm not an advertiser on Yelp, or which I personally don't find to be true at all, because as a franchisor, we are advertisers within Yelp, but I find that we get no special treatment when it comes to filtering or unfiltering. It really all has to do with the profile of the person who's writing the review and the type of traffic and reviews that business already has coming in. So, for example, when I'm looking at, a review that's been filtered, I look at that profile. Does that person who wrote my review have a profile picture? If no, that's a ding. Does that person have any friends within Yelp? If they don't, that's a ding. If they only have one Yelp review, meaning that the only review they've ever written on Yelp is the one that's on my business, that's a huge ding. And all of these factors altogether basically are flags to Yelp. They're like, oh, this person doesn't have a profile. This person only wrote one review. It's an extreme review, meaning it's a 1-star or a 5-star, and they have no friends on Yelp. This is a red flag to me as a, within Yelp's algorithm. Because one of the things that I love about Yelp is the fact that they're really dedicated to keeping their reviews authentic, and it's those checkpoints that are essentially going through Yelp's algorithm saying, this review is not authentic. This person is not an actual Yelp user. This person is going on to this business Yelp page to write this extreme review, whether they want to hurt this business or they're being actively solicited to write positively. All of those factors really go into why Yelp filters that algorithm, or rather why that algorithm filters that review. And that was a huge topic of conversation of why this is occurring.
And of all of the people who were attending your roundtable, what would you say the percentage of them that are, first of all, getting reviews and dealing with reviews on Yelp? Was it most of the franchisors, or was it like half of them, or how many do you think?
I would say that it was probably a good 75% of them that were dealing with these reviews, dealing with reviews and dealing with the algorithm, and or also just struggling to obtain reviews. I think that was a really challenging point for a lot of franchisors is, how do I even get these reviews in the first place? Okay, so I understand that you know, they can be filtered and there is this algorithm, but how do I get them in the first place? And that was, I think, a real struggle for a lot of franchisors. In our particular case, because of the lead database that we keep, we have email addresses. So we're able to target our parents to write positive reviews for us. But there are some businesses that it's just a little bit harder because they don't necessarily obtain that lead info.
Mm-hmm. And of the people who were struggling with it at the round table, did it feel like most of them were doing some advertising, or was that sort of the rare situation?
A lot of the ones that were struggling were emerging franchisors, so they didn't necessarily have the advertising capability on Yelp or on other review sites. But even still, if you're throwing advertising dollars at the review sites, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get those reviews.
Yeah, and that's what I was really interested in that you said, because I hear so many franchisors say, you know, well, you know, there's nothing we can really do with Yelp because we're not advertising there, so we get no special treatment. But it was surprising and refreshing to hear you say that even though you are advertising, it's still a very legitimate, no preferential treatment in your view.
Oh, absolutely not. And we, we have a pretty decent advertising budget, especially with Yelp specifically. And we've attempted to escalate reviews to our Yelp advertising rep. And I've got to say, it is, if anybody has, you know, worked with their Yelp advertising rep and trying to get a review removed, good luck, because it is absolutely at Yelp, for lack of a better analogy, the separation of church and state. Those advertisers do not talk with those, the people that work in Yelp reviews, and vice versa. There is absolutely no pull at all that we've ever been able to realize or see from advertising on Yelp. Certainly not going to prevent me from advertising on Yelp, because Yelp does an amazing job when somebody is looking at a competitor of mine and our ads are showing up. That's a win for us. But it in no way, shape, or form affects reviews at all. I wish it did, because we spend a lot of money with them, but it does not do anything.
Yeah, you know, but it's a two-way street, though. At the same time, you're kind of glad that there is that separation, because, you know, you're getting the value for your advertising, like you said, when someone's searching a competitor or something similar. But it's good to know, and it's great to hear that there is that separation between the advertising and the editorial there. That's surprising and refreshing, like I said.
And especially as a Yelp consumer myself, I appreciate that, because I personally, from experience, know how much Yelp does to keep these reviews authentic. And as a consumer, I believe them. And as, you know, an employee of a franchisor, I also believe it. So, I think it's, like you said, it's refreshing.
Right. And you've been doing this for, like we said from at the top of the show, since 2008, 2009. Have you been really watching the reviews during that whole time? And what changes have you seen to this algorithm and how people are using it?
It's funny. It has definitely changed, and I have been watching since really the first day I stepped into Goddard, because kind of going back to what we were saying before, it was kind of the perfect storm of timing when I walked in. It was, you know, where's our Facebook? Where's our blog? Where are we tweeting? Are we doing e-newsletters? You know, what is our online presence like? So that was really my focus when I came in. But when it comes to online reviews, and back in 2008, 2009, there really weren't many monitoring services that were available to be able to figure out what schools or what locations are receiving reviews and when and across what review site and spread. So that was a little bit difficult, because it was very much, with online reviews, extremely reactive and, you know, a couple weeks late reactive. And when it comes to the online world, you know, working 2 weeks behind is never, never a good thing at all. You kind of have to work 2 weeks ahead. So that has significantly changed. Initially we were just worried about Google and what our presence was like on Google, but we quickly realized that you know, when it comes to online visibility and specifically online reviews, having it spread across multiple review sites is really where it's at. It's not just about Google. It's about Google and Yelp and Insider Pages and City Search and Yelp and Kazoo and GreatSchools.com. And all of that together really assists with that SEO. So, you know, we quickly realized that, you know, we need to be involved in more review sites and we need a better monitoring system in place. Because, you know, again, doing random Google searches of, you know, the Goddard School plus this location plus reviews, you know, after 2009, 2010, that really didn't work anymore. So that was where we really kind of put in place, you know, different systems where we can help our franchisees manage their business listings and we can also help our franchisees monitor and respond to online reviews.
And who's doing that that response right now? Is it the franchisees are doing the responding with a little help and prodding and guidance from you, or are you jumping in on some of the conversations? What's really the best way to do that?
It's really a combination of both, but much more leaning towards the franchisee driving the response and the conversation. So we certainly learned a lot since we've been monitoring reviews since 2008, and by doing that, we've essentially created what we call, you know, an online library, so to speak, of how to respond to online reviews. Mm-hmm. So we've basically taken, over the years, all of the different stuff that's ever been said about us, whether, you know, saying teachers are unqualified or the school's dirty. So those things, you know, unfortunately sometimes come up, there's natural themes to things. So, you know, we'll take a look at that and we've put together all of the different types of responses of things that you can say if somebody says, you know, your school is dirty. Well, no, it's not because we have nightly cleaning crews. In addition to that, we have quality assurance that comes in unannounced and blah, 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 blah. And using all of these checks and balances that we have and just kind of laying that out for our franchisees of if somebody says this, here's the checks and balance of how you can respond. And again, it's sample responses so that we can make it a little bit more of a self-serve experience for our franchisees, make them feel a little bit empowered in terms of the response that they want to craft. But we want to provide these examples because, you know, reviews can be very personal sometimes, and they can be very attacking on that franchisee or that franchisee's employees. So we want to help coach that franchisee in responding in a very non-defensive way. Not saying, you know, this isn't true, this isn't true, this isn't true, but more of saying, this, let me tell you about what our school does and all of the great things about our school.
Mm-hmm. You're telling a story.
Like, it's very much
a combination of the two.
Yeah, you've provided a menu, so to speak, of frequently asked questions or reviews, comments. So that I like that. I think that's a very smart move to allow the franchisees to be able to look at it so they don't react, you know, negatively immediately. Stop.
Right,
and think
because
about
I mean,
it.
If mm-hmm. if you're responding to a negative review in a defensive way, mm-hmm. you've kind of validated that review, mm-hmm. Because you're basically saying it's true, and I'm mad that it's out there. But if you're very, you know, thank you, we appreciate reviews. I'd like to take a chance to address this review. Let me tell you a little bit about my school. These are the things we do, and we found that that works really well when it comes to responding because it gives us an opportunity to highlight our competitive advantages in that negative review. Because we all know that when you go to a review site, you look at the positive reviews, but let's be real, you look at the negative ones first.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at one of our negative reviews and you see, you know, a really non-biased, you know, response from the franchisee, just kind of talking about all the great things we do, we can essentially take a negative experience that a former customer had and turn it into potentially a positive one with a prospective customer.
You know, big question, and people ask this all the time, and I'd love to get your perspective on this. Should you respond to all reviews, meaning 100% of every review that comes through needs some sort of response?
It's a really good question, and I really think that it depends on a couple of things. I think it depends on the industry you're in. But regardless if you respond to all reviews or just negative reviews, I am a firm believer in being consistent. I don't think that you should pick and choose negative reviews and pick and choose positive reviews to respond to. If you're going to respond to positive, respond to all positive. And if you're going to respond to negative, respond to all negative. I think being consistent is more important than trying to respond to all of them.
Love it. That's great. And you were talking about some of the things that someone could say about your school or your system. You have a very special situation in that you've got a franchise system devoted to children. What kind of special security or privacy or any other things do you guys have to keep focused on when you're doing some sort of online response due to the fact that you're dealing with kids?
I mean, absolutely, and all the time, because, you know, there's sometimes where, you know, there's a behavioral type issue that there's a lot more to the story than what the parent posts online, and it's very difficult for us, and especially for our franchisees, because they want more than anything to tell their side of the story, especially when it comes to a child with and a behavioral type issue, because rightfully so, the parent can get very upset about that, and the school as well. So we have to be very careful when we're responding to things of that nature. And a lot of the times, we kind of say, you know, we appreciate reviews. There's a, you know, there's basically saying there's more to this story that we can't address publicly.
Yeah.
And by saying, you know, there's things we cannot talk about. We almost kind of say, and we kind of talk about it without talking about it.
Right, because as a consumer, I would read that and I would say, oh yeah, they obviously can't talk about that, and I'm sure that there's all kinds of issues going on there. And the fact that you even say that really kind of, you know, as we the jury are sort of looking at this, you're kind of putting it to rest and saying, you know, sorry, we can't really comment further.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. There are other aspects to this situation that we can't address publicly. And when we leave it at that, it does a lot of good things for us, to your point. Is it to that consumer, it's educating them of, oh yeah, there are two sides to every story, and we are dealing with, you know, somebody's child and a parent who's very passionate about their child, again, rightfully so. But I'm only seeing one side of it, and that's something that we certainly do. We also do that from the employment perspective. There are unfortunately times, and I know that we're not the only business, that former employees go on and also write negative comments online.
Sure.
One of the things that I think is fabulous about Yelp, though, and why they are one of my top review sites, is the fact that they do a really good job of removing reviews that are from former employees. Because a lot of the times, kind of like this, you know, dealing with children and privacy measures, there's a lot when it comes to a teacher who may have been let go that writes negatively online, where we also legally cannot go into that situation and provide our side of the story. But Yelp on the back end, and I don't know if, you know, anybody who's listening has tried to report reviews before, Yelp is absolutely fantastic about it, especially with former employees. And reviews that you believe are from competitors as well. I would say that of the reviews that we get that are from former teachers, I'm probably able to remove, I would argue, about 90% of them. It is outrageously high percentage.
And it makes sense, because those are the ones that probably are the most unfair. You know, it's you got to look at reviews as a consumer anyway, in my opinion, as saying, okay, the extremes on both end, I'm pretty much going to ignore those, because, you know,
exactly,
probably a former employee involved here, and the ones that are just glowing, it's probably the owner's son, right? So I always right. sort of